Hello and welcome to Radical Notions, a Radical Notion sponsored podcast. My name is Nathaniel Sass.
And I'm Grace Rimp.
Grace, why don't you flick the spinner there as it goes around. It landed on women, so it looks like we're talking about women this week.
Oh, good lord.
Okay, so as this is the first episode of, I guess, what is our second season, we are kind of under new management. So I would like to start us off with a segment that, at least in the Radical Notion meetings, we refer to as the Week in Feminism, but it's not specifically directed towards feminism. It's more equality as a whole.
Yeah, it's intersectional.
So I wanted to bring to the table, I know it's been talked to absolute death, but the ongoing wave of terrible people in Hollywood getting their comeuppance is like pretty, like, I'm glad that's happening. Like, it's pretty cool to see.
But it's also so sad and horrifying.
Oh, yeah. Like, 100%.
Yeah, it just sits in my heart really badly.
Yeah, I'm glad it's happening, but, like, it should have happened a very long time ago. Today, the latest to come out was Louis C.K.
I know.
Which makes me really sad, because I thought, on a lot of levels, like, he was a pretty forward thinker. Like, he was a pretty cool dude, like, at least progressively. Like, I think he had a lot of good ideas, but also really liked to get naked in front of women.
Ugh, so gross. Yeah, it's really disheartening.
Which sucks, because, like, so, with Harvey Weinstein, I didn't, like, I knew of him, and I didn't, like, have any.
Well, his presence, like, he has a huge presence in Hollywood, but it's largely, if you don't, like, look at who's producing things, it can be pretty invisible.
Yeah.
So, but if you're, like, a Louis C.K. fan, that's not an invisible thing.
Yeah.
That's,
and, like, Kevin Spacey, it was, like, I don't care about Kevin Spacey that much. Like, his work has never impacted me, but, like, this is the one that's hit me, like, damn, I liked their work, and this is rough.
Yeah, it sucks when people suck.
In lighter news, the crazy amount of people that showed up to vote.
I know!
That makes me really happy.
Oh my god, it's incredible. First of all, votes matter. Look how much votes matter when people show up to vote.
Yeah. So we have the first trans legislator?
State legislator.
State legislator. Who is Danica Rome, I want to say is her name. But in there are also a couple that were less covered, I think. Like, not to, like, detract from that at all. That's, like,
groundbreaking,
and
incredible,
amazing.
And
but Andrea Jenkins is the first trans person of color to be elected to any office in the United States. She got elected to the Minneapolis City Council. I don't know his name off the top of my head, but the boyfriend of a reporter who was shot and killed on live television won on the basis of gun control. And also, to revisit, is her name Danica Rome? I think it is. But she beat out the guy who proposed the trans people have to use not the bathroom they identify with law.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure there's more finger quotes professional
the
name
actual
for
name
it.
Of the bill, but I don't
yeah.
know either.
But, like, that makes me feel like there's some justice in the world. Like, what is this strange feeling? Hope?
Yeah. Wow. Wild. It's so unfamiliar.
But I don't want to lose the momentum of, like...
Oh, look, we did it. Now we don't need to, like...
Show up ever.
We should still feel that amount of heat every single election.
Yeah, for sure. And this was just, like... This was just very selective places where, like... I think the stats were, like, one of every five, four, something like that. People were allowed to vote.
Uh-huh.
So... Grace, do you have anything to bring to This Week in Feminism?
Yes, for This Week in Feminism on campus, I guess it's next week in feminism, technically. We're having Dr. Stephanie Gilmore come and visit. She's going to be our advocate in residence, and she'll be here for almost a full week to talk to the campus and hold specific trainings with different service groups on campus to talk about rape culture and consent culture, and especially those two things in conjunction with alcohol use. And it should be great. She's an expert in those field and does those sorts of talks a lot. She'll have a talk in the chapel at 10 o'clock on Monday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be great, and you should try to go to all of her events. I don't know if Emma asked you to say anything else about it or...
Just that she is... it is Monday at 10. Monday, November the 13th.
Yes, this coming Monday.
Yeah. In the French Memorial Chapel on the Hastings College campus. And she will also be giving trainings afterwards to how to... I guess educate on consent, how to...
She'll be specifically be working with RAs and RDs, Bacchus, CARE, groups that, kind of pun groups that are meant to help with those sorts of things as well.
Yeah. So I'm super happy that she is coming to speak. Like, she's an amazing speaker, and also, like, I think this is definitely an issue that, like, as a freshman... I remember in INT people being like, oh, we get it, don't rape, bleh. But like, it's still happening a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is definitely something that even if you think you don't need to hear it, I think you do
need to hear it, absolutely. And I think it's important that our college is taking a week to think about this and talk about this. It's mm-hmm. not just it's a whole week with this person coming and speaking to us and training us and making it a lasting change. Like, she's training younger folks so they can train people in future semesters and future years. So it's going to be an ongoing change on the campus, hopefully.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear her talk and to experience the workshops afterwards. Like,
mm-hmm.
it'll be great. So the, do you want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. So the meat of what... Gross, bad. The overarching subject for today that we had picked out is trigger warnings. Grace, when was the first time you heard a trigger warning?
Like, when I heard the term, or like when I was about to watch something and they gave a trigger warning?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like, I feel like I see it a lot... I think I see it online more often than I see it in my real life. Like, mm-hmm. I don't often get trigger warnings in class. And if they are, I don't think they're called trigger warnings all the time. I think sometimes we're, like, warned that what we're going to be watching might be kind of violent or gory. But it's... I don't think my professors often use the terminology trigger warning. Sometimes content warning. But I see it mm-hmm. on, like, videos online a lot. Or, like... angsty post on Instagram might have a trigger warning before them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I fall in line with that too. I think the first time I ever heard trigger warning was on like my angsty high school days on Tumblr. Like I think it was in pertinence to like it. I remember really distinctly that it set me off on like, well, that's dumb. Because I think it was in terms of like food. Or, like, what was it? That that fear people have of, like, tiny little holes in things.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I thought that was kind of a, like, it's food. Like, who cares? We see food all the time. But I think moving past that, like, I've realized that, like, they are definitely useful things to have. You made a good point of, like, trigger warning versus content warning. And I think that kind of passive language of, like, trigger warning implies that, like, this could mess you up if you're listening to it. And content warning is a, like, this movie or whatever has violence or whatever in it, and, like, I think that's a very distinct terminology. It feels like it's doing something versus it's doing something to you.
Yeah, I agree. I think it takes away the viewer as victim, or it's the viewer's fault if they are affected by it, and instead it's the prerogative of the thing you're watching.
Yeah.
I think trigger warnings are really important. I think there's kind of this wave of the word triggered being,
like, mocked, a dumb meme.
Yeah, in a kind of frustrating way. And so maybe moving towards content warning is better than just because trigger warning might have lost some of its meaning in this sort of stupid meme culture we've created for ourselves. But I still think they're really important. I think things really can affect people, especially if they've gone through trauma in their lives. It's really, really, really important to warn them before people see things that can affect them deeply.
Yeah. So the basis for our conversation today is the essay Gender Constructions and Trauma: Trigger Warnings as an Accommodations for Female Students in Higher Education by Jordan. Can't read my own handwriting, but I leave it. I believe it's Jordan Dahl, based on research by Elizabeth Wolgast and Wendy Williams. And the synopsis of the article was: Do we need trigger warnings given in college classes specifically aimed at female students when we are talking about, like, sexual violence or just violence in general? And it kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, in terms of, I don't think it should be aimed directly at female students, first of all, because I think that it sort of invites, like, oh, females need to be protected, and, like, it implies a sense of, like, you protect your sanctity, or, like, I don't know. So, and she touches on that a little bit, but a couple talking points that I wanted to bring up were, she poses the question of, do trigger warnings infringe on First Amendment rights?
I don't think so, because trigger warnings do not imply that what we are seeing is being censored. It's just like, be aware of what you're about to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to leave the room or don't want to watch it, you don't have to, but it's still going to be shown. But just, I think warning people about what's going to happen or what they're going to be consuming is okay. I don't think that is taking away free speech in any sort of capacity.
Yeah. What do you think protocol-wise, like, if you're a student who is sensitive to gun violence and your professor is showing a video or a movie or even reading a book that deals with gun violence, what do you think is the protocol for, like, do you get excused from that assignment? Do you, like, Do you read something adjacent but not that? Do you, like, how does your grade get impacted on that? I think that's a rough area.
Yeah, it's hard. I do think that student, I think being excused from assignment is hard. I think probably there are alternative means of learning that aren't consuming that particular form of content.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think read something else. Read something adjacent was a good word that you used.
I
don't know. I'm not an ex. That's hard.
Yeah. And I don't think there's a right answer, which is, you know, I hate to propose problems with no answers. but I think that they're, if a student is genuinely uncomfortable with the subject matter of something they're reading, then I think that should be between the student and the professor.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there should absolutely be a content warning before you get into it, so you don't run up against that. And then
be surprised by it,
yeah,
or jarred by it.
Yeah, and then you're halfway into the book, and you're like, cool, what do I do now?
Uh-huh.
So I think that's a good balance of, like, hey, this book has sexual violence in it.
Uh-huh.
And then if that is too intense, then I think a alternative should be proposed.
I agree. I mean, there are things that people have, like, that have come up in class that, like, I think are really, really important works I've read or that, but that can still have, there are people in my life who would have been profoundly affected by them. Like, whether that be, like, mental health things or self-harm
mm-hmm.
content, like, it'd be really dangerous for certain people in certain places in their lives to be reading or looking at that.
Yeah.
I think that's a real experience.
We read A Clockwork Orange recently for my lit class.
I once made the terrible choice of reading The Bell Jar and then reading A Clockwork Orange, and I just felt it was a horrible
Why?
Couple of weeks.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
was...
a bad look.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of that book deals with the protagonist being a super rapist,
mm-hmm.
and at least in my class, there is nobody who, at least with the book, and I think, so I will make the distinction of the book versus the movie. The book, everyone was like, yeah, he's a bad dude, and there's a child rape scene in the book that is thankfully not in the movie. But everyone was like, yeah, that's pretty screwed up, but, like, guess we gotta read this for class because it's a classic, question mark?
Uh-huh.
But then during the movie discussion, the movie has a lot of sexual imagery in it, and, like, we discussed, like, why Kubrick decided to do that and pair it with the violence so much, and we didn't, I don't think our class necessarily came up with an answer other than that's just the way it is. And a lot of people were like, yeah, I was real uncomfortable because it wasn't making a point. It wasn't like, it was just like, he does the bad stuff and then he gets away with it, sort of.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is completely different than if you're in sort of a South Park-ish way, like, hey, here's these bad things in a satirical way. Satirical just became a synonym for South Park in my brain. Good job. Do you think trigger warnings contribute to a more fragile view of women?
I don't know if that people can take it that way. Like that article you read, perhaps. Especially if they're directed towards female students. But I don't think they need to be directed towards anyone. It's hard when it's mostly, not mostly, when trigger warnings are used a lot of times for scenes of sexual violence, and those are oftentimes, they affect women differently and more often because of the larger number of women being in situations of sexual violence than men. And so perhaps just because of numbers, it comes across that way. But I think I just think they're important.
Yeah. And I think that's a very, like, most trigger warnings are towards rape or sexual violence. Uh-huh. And you actually kind of stepped on my next question.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, you're... How dare you? Which is, are trigger warnings geared more towards women than men? And I don't think they're geared.
I don't think they're geared towards men or women. I think maybe. If there's this association, it's because of that correlation of sexual violence and who the victims of sexual violence often are.
Yeah. Which leads me to, also written down here, 1 in 5 women and 1 in 10 men will be assaulted in college, which is a fact that the article threw out. And, mm-hmm. like, I think you're absolutely right, that it's not geared towards consciously, but that women are the more maybe vocal or receptive or like, hey, thanks, I needed that warning.
Yeah.
Because rape happens to women more than men. Like, it's causation, and it's just kind of a cyclical...
Yeah, absolutely.
Oof. Do you think professors and speakers have an ethical responsibility to share the course content ahead of time?
I mean, like, in the syllabus, sure.
In terms of, like, not just we will be reading A Clockwork Orange, but, like, Clockwork Orange has child rape in it.
I think that is important. I mean, whether that's on the syllabus or not, or if it's a couple weeks before they start reading it, like, be cognizant of the fact that the next book we'll be reading includes sexual violence towards children.
Yeah.
And if you're uncomfortable with that, please talk to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah. And because our professor didn't share that ahead of time. There was no, like, and it is a dystopian fiction class, so you kind of know what you're getting into in terms of, like, it's going to be bleak, uh-huh. but, like, that's also on a very different level than just, like, oh, 1984, everything sucks.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I think there's the article used the term ethical responsibility, and I think that's pretty right. I think it's screwed up and not great to subject your students who are, like, trusting you for, like, guidance, and you, like, as a professor, you're running the class, you, I think, have the responsibility to, we all know, like, being in college, you're not gonna, like, look up the synopsis of the book beforehand.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I don't think the responsibility is on the students to be like, I wonder if this book has anything objectionable in it.
Yeah.
Because at that point, also, if you explore that, you're already, like, exposing yourself to it. And that's not... that you might as well just read it at that point.
Yeah.
So I think it's certainly a responsibility. I don't know, ethically, like, it's a good thing. But I think unless you're doing it to, like, intentionally trigger people, which I can't see any professor here at Hastings College
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, absolutely not.
But I'm sure it has probably happened somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's rough. That's a really rough spot.
It's a tough one, too, just because, not that these conversations are new necessarily, but I think they're things people are thinking about. Like, we're thinking about trigger warnings and talking about trigger warnings more often. And so if you've taught a certain book for years and suddenly you're thinking, okay, should I have been including a content warning about this?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's hard.
Yeah, to look back and... Do you think the... I know the... sort of play devil's advocate for a second. The argument against trigger warnings is usually like, oh, so sensitive, like,
mm-hmm.
how do you think, how do you respond to that?
I don't know. I have a hard time with so sensitive anyways, because I'm like, I'm of the mind.
Yeah, dude.
And I'm like, I am a baby, but also I'm like, I'm not going to say things or do things that's going to hurt someone's heart. Like, like it's just, it's for me, like, I'm like, if, why is it a, like, it should not be the person, like, I don't know why, ooh, that's a lot of likes, you might want to edit that. I don't want to say this.
Put a ding every time there's a like.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so it's, why should we try to, like, help the feelings of someone who's shouting, you're too sensitive, than the person whose heart is being hurt? I'm like, shouldn't that person, like, shouldn't we care? Like, why are your feelings about the fact that you just want to shout bad things? Shout bad things. Okay. But.
That's my new band name.
Yeah.
I think that this discussion also extends to the concept of safe spaces.
Uh-huh.
In that, like, there was that demonstration like a month ago of like very conservative I guess, I think it was on a college campus, and not to bash on conservative people, but these people who were conservative did a very dumb thing of being like, oh, triggered babies need their safe space, and like, did you see this? They were like in diapers with pacifiers, like, on campus, and be like, oh, this is our safe space. but you're in diapers.
Who looks dumb here?
Like, I get the sentiment of like, oh, I don't want to censor anybody, but like, there's a point where free speech and like censorship, free speech turns into hate speech, I think, at a certain point where,
well, I'm like, we're not, a safe space does not stop you from saying the things you want to say. It's just like, this is a space where someone can get away from hearing those things. I'm like, if you want to continue saying horrible things, say them literally anywhere else. I mean, don't say them, they're horrible.
Yeah.
But
but like, you're probably gonna say them, so just go somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
If I don't know. And that also brings up, like, hey, why don't we try to reason with, like, people? But it's not... It's not...
I think there's an argument where safe spaces are spaces where people can get away from having conversations with people who don't agree with them, which,
yeah,
I do not think is their purpose.
Yeah.
But I think there is... People do read them that way.
It is not the duty of the oppressed to explain and justify their existence and way of life to the oppressors.
I'm snapping. I don't know if the microphone can pick it up.
It's, yep, I'm seeing spikes. So this is the part of the show where I don't know what to call this yet. We'll probably have a name by the next episode, but
this is the part of the show where
Larry comes out and sings a silly song. I knew you were, where you were going with that, just by your body language, and I think that says a lot about our relationship.
Yeah, a lot about our PK upbringing.
So
a lot of VeggieTales in our childhood.
A lot. I want. This is the segment of the show where we look around online and find a comment or an article, or today it's a Yahoo Answer that deals with whatever our topic is and respond to it.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
So, this Yahoo Answer comes from House of Yum, who says, is anyone willing to speak in favor of the whole trigger warning thing? I hear about it all the time. It's almost universally mocked and ridiculed, but somebody must be in favor of it. In fact, it couldn't exist without fairly widespread support. Why can't I find anyone who does? Do I need to go to college campus? So I think maybe he tacked on a second question at the end there was, wait, no, I read that as, do I need to go to college, period? So the top answer to this question is, heck no, it's fairly idiotic. A trigger warning almost trains someone that they should be re-traumatized by what they're going to see, read, hear. Triggers are very personal things, and it does not go without saying that all people who have experienced such and such trauma will react to this or that. Also, life doesn't come with trigger warnings. Sometimes we just have to deal with things as they come up.
Okay. Here we go. You're right. Life does not come with trigger warnings. Bad things happen, which is probably largely why people have these traumas, because things happen to them that did not have a trigger warning.
Trigger warning, I am about to stab you, just so you know.
Again, trigger warnings do not stop the content from being played or used, so that person can go ahead and watch it, but that way it just doesn't surprise them. That's all. Like,
yeah. What do you think of the notion that a trigger warning almost trains someone that they should be re-traumatized?
I'm like, they're...
That's buck wild.
Yes.
I think it's a preemptive warning to, like, if you don't want to see this content, then, like, don't watch it. And I think that will be reflected in the view count and then the money that the person makes from that video or whatever. And, like, and then that helps govern our, like, what gets made and popularized. And I mean, that's the dream. But...
Uh-huh.
But I think life does not come with trigger warnings. You're correct there, bud. But
House of Yum, your question is dumb.
There we go. That was good.
Thank you.
Another response to this question was, is this some sort of video game? No? Then we have no idea what you're talking about. This answer was submitted by Pooh Bear Penguin 2 years ago, so...
Well, I have no words. Great for a podcast. Let Grace... Listen to Grace sputter for 10 minutes.
Folks, that is going to do it for us.
I'm so sorry for being the least helpful podcast guest ever.
I mean, not really, like...
Thank you.
Not the least... I mean, this is... If we want to speak in terms of our finger quotes rebrand, like, this is our first episode, so you're simultaneously the best and worst guest we've ever had.
That is true. I think, too, hopefully, in other episodes, we'll have a larger panel of discussioners. And
oh, yeah.
Discussioners.
Then
besides
today,
just
today was
Grace.
Just a whack day for people to be able to record, so we thought we'd have a more kind of one-on-one, just chill fest friends and hang. So with those well put together words, we are gonna leave you. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Radno meets every alternating Wednesday and Monday. So we, our next meeting will be on Wednesday the...
Well...
What?
Oh, this coming week, Radno is going to a dinner at Dr. Fur's house.
Oh, you're right.
For Stephanie Gilmore coming during our regular meeting time. So, like...
Okay, so...
Our next official meeting will be the following Monday at 6.
So, our next meeting, if you're listening to this close to the date it comes out, is going to be November the 20th. At 6 p.m. in the basement of the Doherty Center.
Also, if you're not a regular Radno attendee and you're listening to this, don't be afraid to come. There's not, it's like, I think people kind of get into the mindset where it's like they're interested in a group and then it's suddenly November and they're like, shoot, it's too late to join.
Yeah.
Never too late to join.
It's
we always need people.
It's super cash. There's always like snacks. Like we have a, it's very laid back. People file in and out every week.
Mm-hmm.
And
we save the world.
We do do that. We do do that, huh? So if you want to, next week, I think we are going to try and take some questions. So if you want to send us some questions, either send them my way or Grace's way.
Or to the Radical Notion.
Or to the, yeah, that was the,
we should come up with a hashtag with the hashtag Radno Qs.
Well.
Or.
Radno Qs?
Yeah.
RadnoQs. That's fine. I'm cool with that.
Great.
But yeah, you can follow Radical Notion on Twitter and ask us questions there at HC Radical Notion, all one word. You can follow me on Twitter at Nathaniel Sass. You can follow Grace on Twitter at Grace Remp,
yeah,
which is her name. And we want to thank the four non-blondes for our use of the theme song What's Up. Is it What's Up or What's Going On?
It's What's Up.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for listening. I am Nathaniel Sass.
I'm Grace Ram.
And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Stay
with our ears.
Stay radical.
Ooh.